there's only one place for live, local, conservative talk in the morning. And this is it. The Commute with Carlson. Stimulating, entertaining, and making a difference. Here's John Carlson on Talk Radio 570 KVI.
And it is 8 o'clock, actually 5 minutes past 8 o'clock. John Carlson, Talk Radio 570 KVI, the last hour of the last show of the week, the last Friday before the election. How you doing out there? Thank you for waking up on the right side, letting me be part of your commute. When voters fill out their ballots, they have a whole host of ballot measures in front of them, one of which is to ratify or not ratify legislation passed into law, signed by the governor, that allows same-sex couples to get married. Now, this is an easy... We've talked about this several times on the show. We get a lot of great reaction from people. And it's the kind of issue where you can debate the pros and cons. What I wanted to do today, and I don't know if you've heard this on any other show or not, is I wanted to introduce you to a friend of mine here who works at Fisher Broadcasting. He actually works with all of our stations. He heads digital media development. And he is gay. He is in a committed relationship. He hopes that he and his partner can have children. And he hopes that he and his partner can get married. And what I wanted to, he doesn't want to, you know, say, here's how you should vote and why. But he does want to tell you a little bit about himself. And after he does so, I want you to call and tell me whether or not you think that my friend Travis Mayfield should be allowed to get married or not. I'll give out the phone numbers now. It's 206-421-5757. That's 421-5757. Outside King County's 1-888-312-5757. Travis Mayfield, great having you here on KVI.
Thanks for the invitation. I'm glad to be here, and I'm glad to talk with your fine listeners. I'm a fan of the show, so it's exciting to be here and talk to you, John.
All right. Tell our listeners a little bit about yourself. Where
sure.
you grew up, when you knew
yep.
you were gay, how you got into your relationship, et cetera, et cetera.
All right. So I'm a Northwest native, born and bred, born in Oregon. The family moved to the Seattle area when I was in eighth grade. I went to South Kitsap High School. I graduated from Gonzaga University, and I've worked in broadcasting and local news for my whole career all over the Northwest. So my heart and soul is here in this region, and I love what we do in this business. I am also an openly gay man. I officially came out between my freshman year and sophomore year in college. I started telling my friends.
At a Catholic school.
That's right. Absolutely. I actually,
was that uncomfortable?
You know, I actually spent my freshman year at Boston University, a secular school,
right.
and transferred
mm-hmm.
to Gonzaga University because I felt like it was a better fit for me. And between the summer, between the two, I'd really struggled my freshman year with my own sexual identity and my own self, and was very had a really tough year, and came home and realized that I had all these friends and all this family, and I was going to this new school that I felt had all these hopes. And I was like, I need to be honest with myself, and I need to be honest with them. So I vowed that I would step foot on that campus of a Catholic school in conservative Spokane, Washington, as an openly gay man, and there would be no question about it. And so that's exactly what I did. And this was in the mid-90s, before Will and Grace or Modern Family or shows, you know,
yes.
had popularized the idea of openly gay men in the media.
So and, how was that experience?
You know, it was actually amazing. What I've found over my life is that the more comfortable I am in my own skin, the more comfortable other people are with me and with interacting with me and understanding me. I really think that the most powerful advocacy is knowing me as a human being. I've never been politically outspoken. I mean, I've been a broadcaster and a journalist for most of my career, but I feel that sharing my personal experience is something that people can say, I know you as a human being, and for the first time have an experience with you, and so I actually like you. You're not what I see on television. You're not something that I've had demonized in my mind. You're someone who I consider, I respect, and I'm friends
with. Well, you've told me in the past how embarrassed you are when you see the more flamboyant, flagrant gay pride parade, chaps with no underwear,
sure,
kind of thing.
Because it doesn't represent, so I don't want to stand in judgment on anyone or what they do and such, but I can tell you that for my family, that doesn't reflect my experience. I mean, I'm currently standing in front of you with jeans and a V-neck merino sweater. You know, I live in the suburbs of Seattle. We have a home. I live with my husband. We have a dog, and we're trying to have a kid. You know, I live a very suburban life. I listen to your show as I commute in and swear about the traffic. My life, my life is a very conventional life. And yet,
except.
That's right, except that my partner, my husband, is a man. But I don't think that makes me really honestly any different than any of your listeners or you and your wife's relationship, John. I mean, I love my husband with my heart and soul. When we went on our first date, I remember sitting over sushi with him 6 years ago and looking to his eyes and thinking, I'm going to marry this guy. And I love to tell this story that before we ordered dessert, after we finished dinner, I looked at him and I said, I want to be a father. And if you don't want to be a father, we don't need to order dessert. And he didn't run away from me. And so I knew it was meant to be. And now we're actually working on that process.
What do you want people who are not gay to know about gays?
That we are every shape and size and color and personality, that gay isn't necessarily some sort of identity. We are human beings, and we are your neighbors, we are your relatives, we are your friends. And you may see gay people that you don't relate to and you don't like, but that doesn't mean that's all gays.
Now, are you still Roman Catholic?
I actually went to a Catholic school, but I was born and raised in a fundamentalist Christian church. We actually converted to Presbyterianism when I was in junior high. I was confirmed and baptized as a Presbyterian and am still active in our church locally. And you know, I am a devout Christian. And in fact, I think this is important for folks to know. I really believe that God created each of us in his image. I really, with my very heart and soul, believe that. And I believe that he created me in his image. And I believe that I am honoring him by being the fullest of myself that I can possibly be. And if I were anything less than that, I would be saying to God, you made a mistake and I'm embarrassed. And I don't believe that God makes mistakes. So I believe that by living this life and being who God created to me to be, I am honoring him.
Okay. Now, a piece in the Seattle Times, op-ed by several Catholic lay leaders who oppose Referendum 74. Here's what they say. They say, no one denies the close and intimate bond experienced by same-sex couples. However, it is simply not the same thing as marriage because, by its very nature, it cannot produce children. Their argument is, therefore, that bond which can naturally produce children should have privileged status.
So my response to that is a very simple one. In their church, that is absolutely what they're allowed to believe and what the definition of marriage in their church can be and should be. And I will fight until my dying breath that they have that right. But what I want is recognition for my family under law. Civil law. And I want to be treated, and I want our family to be treated the same as other families are. It's an issue of civil law to me.
Another thing they write is, the state of Washington already provides all of the same legal benefits to same-sex couples that are provided to married couples.
Sure.
That was passed just a year ago in the legislature.
The
only matter in question with 74 is whether the word marriage also applies to couples that are composed of two members of the same sex rather than only one man and one woman. Tell me why that one word has taken on, now this has become a multi-million-dollar campaign.
Yes.
Why has that one word taken on such immense significance if, legally speaking, it doesn't matter much at all?
First of all, I would argue that it does matter. It does matter. You know, courts have ruled for decades that separate is not equal. Separate status is something that is not equal. I would also argue that in Washington State, domestic partnership is not the same thing as marriage. For example, to register as a domestic partner, we have to live together. And I actually know married couples, men and women, who live in different places because of their careers and their jobs. And if my husband and I were in that situation, we couldn't be registered domestic partners in this state, for example. There are also private companies that provide marriage benefits under their insurance policy, and they have to actually explicitly spell out that it also applies to domestic partnerships. Okay. So marriage gives that sort of opportunity and that exact equal freedom to couples and families like mine.
Last question from me before we go to the phones is the authors of this op-ed in the Seattle Times, Tom Matthews, Bob Kelly, Pia DeSalemne, say, we would be forced to accept a legal definition of marriage that signifies a genderless institution. For instance, numerous precedents in other states have accepted the redefinition of marriage and are trying to impose this on Catholic institutions. In Massachusetts and Washington, D.C., Catholic organizations can no longer provide charitable adoption services based on the new legal definition of marriage, because they won't place children with same-sex married couples. Where would you fall down? Where would you fall on something like that?
I mean, for me, that's, I mean, there's a lot of factors in that specific example. For example, in Massachusetts, the Catholic Charities was already placing kids for adoption with same-sex couples until this debate about marriage came around and the Vatican took note. And then they basically swooped in and said, you can no longer do this because it violates the tenets of the faith. So then they had to say, well, then if we're going to continue taking state money, then we have to either follow state law or we have to stop adopting to same-sex couples. So I would argue that it is ultimately still their choice to stop adopting to same-sex couples. I would also say, as a husband and husband couple that wants to have a baby desperately, that we would make amazing parents. And I want the opportunity, and I know my friends and neighbors and fellow gays who want to be parents should have those same opportunities. But if your religious organization and charity doesn't believe that and doesn't want to do it, then you absolutely can continue not wanting to provide that and that service. But as I said, equality matters, then you can't take my state tax dollars to do it.
Okay. You've heard what Travis Mayfield has to say. Now, I have one question for you, and this is the question on the table. Should Travis be allowed to get married to
my husband, Curtis?
Curtis. Should Travis and Curtis be allowed to get married? Yes or no? Tell us why. 206-421-5757. That's 206-421-5757. Outside King County, it's 1-888-312-5757. My guest is a colleague and friend of mine here at Fisher Broadcasting, Travis Mayfield. We'll get to your calls right after this quick homage to capitalism.
You're listening to the fastest-growing conservative talk station on the planet. No, really, this is Talk Radio 570 KVI.
Actually, the number is just out. You're really listening to one of the fastest-growing radio shows in America, period. That's how great it has gone here for the last 6 weeks. John Carlson, Talk Radio 570 KVI, and I'm very grateful. And every once in a while, we break apart from the pack, and we do something that you're not going to hear on other news talk stations. And that is, I'm bringing in a colleague here at Fisher Broadcasting, Travis Mayfield, who is gay in a committed relationship of several years now.
Yeah, 6 years.
And he would like to get married. And he made his case, you know, introduced himself, his relationship, and how it came about and why he thinks it's important. And now I'm putting the question to all of you. Do you think that Travis should be allowed to get married? Let's go to the phones and hear what you have to say. We're going to start with Jim in Bellevue. You're on with John Carlson and Travis Mayfield. Go for it. Jim, you there?
Yes, I'm here. Good morning, guys.
Hi there.
Thank you very much. Appreciate it. Good morning, John. Good morning, Travis. The question back to me, I would say, let me caveat it. Legally, yes, but if he wants to get married in a ceremony, he can do it. And let me give you an example of what my wife and I did. Legally, in the state of Washington, we signed a document that said that we were married on May 8th, but we actually went to a destination wedding and got married on May 30th. We don't celebrate our wedding anniversary on May 8th. We celebrate May 30th. And for me, I don't understand why gay couples They have everything but marriage in the state of Washington. They can do the exact same thing. If they want a ceremony, if they want to celebrate with their friends, if they want to show their unity, have a wedding. Have a great party. But, you know, you have everything legally provided.
Well, okay, so Travis, why not do what Jim did? You get an official document from the state of Washington. You're in a civil union. And then you can go to Maui. You can go wherever you want.
Sure.
You can get, you know, married, have a ceremony, and then come back here. And your relationship in the eyes of the law gives you the same rights, responsibilities, and privileges that my marriage does.
As I said, for me, separate is not equal under the eyes of the law. And I, again, am not asking that a church recognize our marriage. You know, in the same way that the Catholic Church doesn't want to marry someone who's been divorced. But that's legal to remarry someone who's divorced. I would never want to tell a church what they can and can't do recognizing their marriage. But what I want is that my relationship and my marriage to my husband to have the exact same legal everything, including the word, recognition by the government.
Now, as a practicing Christian, mm-hmm. do you believe, as the Old and the New Testament hold, that homosexual behavior is sinful?
I do not. I believe Leviticus, there's a lot of, I mean, without getting into the weeds here, but there's a lot in Levitical law that surrounds the verses that seem to prohibit same-sex behavior, things like eating shellfish and cutting your hair that we don't practice today and we don't consider to be sinful. And in the New Testament, there's a lot of evidence to believe, looking at it contextually, that understanding what a committed relationship and what gay actually means today, we're not talking about temple prostitutes. We're not talking about coercive underage relationships.
What about, again, without getting into biblical passages, St. Paul? I mean, St. Paul was pretty clear.
But again, that is a list of sins. And if you go back and look at translations, there actually is evidence that there are multiple words, temple prostitutes and underage rape, that have been combined as we've translated into homosexuality. And to me...
You think the Bible is unclear?
I believe, as
it's very clear about things like divorce.
That's exactly right.
Jesus himself was very clear about divorce being wrong.
And as I said, I believe to my very soul that God created me to be the man that I am today in his image, and that there is no way that God makes mistakes. And me being in a committed relationship that is modeled after Adam and Eve.
Okay.
God created us to be partners with each other, and I believe that's what Curtis and I are, and we are honoring God by doing that.
Let us go to Mercer Island, hear what Jerry has to say. Jerry, you're on with John Carlson here, Travis Mayfield. Should Travis be allowed to get married to Curtis? Go for it.
Yes, but I'm building on the same caveat the other guy did in a sense that, you know, when you're looking just for the word, you're really looking for is acceptance, and you can't legislate acceptance. You can legislate tolerance. You can't make people accept something. And I think it'll come with time, and I voted for it. I think I don't care, but I'm just telling you, you aren't going to change people's hearts by making a law. That's it.
All right. Thank you very much, Jerry.
I guess for me, I ultimately would love to have everybody love Curtis and I and celebrate our marriage as the marriage that I know that it is. But I also understand the culture that we live in and that people are not always going to be that way. So I truthfully am not necessarily looking for acceptance. I'm just looking for legal recognition and protection from my family under the law. And as I've said, courts say separate is not equal. And so marriage, I love to use the example of voting. Voting is something that apply to straight white men. And then we opened that up for African Americans. And then we opened that up for women. And then we opened that up for 18-year-olds. That's what I want from marriage.
Can you think of a legal distinction, legal difference between what the law allows you in a committed relationship versus what the law would allow me and Lisa in our relationship?
Yes. I brought it up earlier, the example of we have to live in the same place to have a domestic partnership. That's in the domestic partnership law at this moment. And if Curtis and I, my job takes me to Spokane and I have to have a condo there and I live there and he stays here before, you know, we were in domestic partnership, we would not be allowed to be domestic partners in this state legally.
Nicole from Redmond, what do you say?
Hey, thanks for having me on. I actually feel, after talking with lots of friends and family about this, I feel like, you know, Travis and Curtis should be able to get married. This shouldn't be an issue. Specifically, one of the things I thought was interesting was the point that you brought up, John, about how marriage should be part of, you know, a relationship that can produce children. And quite frankly, you know, my husband and I were not able to conceive children naturally, so we had to take other means to do that. And we have a newborn, and I don't think that because we weren't able to have children naturally doesn't mean that we somehow don't have, that we have less of a marriage. And so I kind of heard that argument and thought, I just don't buy into that. And I feel pretty strongly that this is something that, you know, is civil. Travis, I appreciated your argument about the civil part of it. I think it is civil. It's not religious. And I just feel like we should take the religion out of it. And I don't know that it's really about acceptance so much as understanding that it should be equality. So
all right.
That's how I see it.
Okay, Nicole, thanks very much. Travis, quick comment?
I appreciate that very much, Nicole. In fact, as I listened to you and your husband struggle to have a baby, it really did nearly bring me to tears. I had to step away from the microphone because that is very much how Curtis and I feel. You know, we're trying very hard to be dads, and I want our child and our future child to have all the same protections that other married parents have for their kids.
All right. Stick around one more segment.
Sure. You why not?
All right. Real quick, simple question on the table. Should Travis be allowed to get married to Curtis? 206-421-5757.
The Savage Nation is back. Now 3 full hours. Weeknights at 9 on Talk Radio 570 KVI.
And we are back. John Carlson, Talk Radio 570 KVI. I thought we'd come at the Referendum 74 campaign, the ballot measure that would ratify the legislature's law signed by the governor to recognize same-sex marriage, marriage equality. I thought we'd come at it from a different angle, and so I asked a colleague of mine who would very much like to get married to come on and explain why he, Travis Mayfield, would like to marry his partner of half a dozen years, Curtis. And we're taking your phone calls. We're just asking a simple question. Should Travis and Curtis be allowed to get married? We had a lot of very interesting phone calls coming in on both sides. Travis, taking your call, says that he knew he was different, knew he was gay from his almost earliest memories.
Yeah, absolutely.
All right. Let's go to Richard calling from I-5, headed towards Centralia. What do you say? Good to have you on Talk Radio 570 KVI.
Hi. I think a lot of the other people brought up some good points. You can't legislate acceptance. Travis does mention he doesn't believe God makes mistakes. I don't either. But there's certainly people born with what we would call afflictions, you know, your medical issues, problems. You know, one chromosome can, you know, make all the difference in the world. It seems to me they've got, you know, with the civil union, bringing up the point about the one thing they don't have is a married couple can live apart in different states and still be recognized as a marriage. If that's not the case with civil unions, I would say, well, take that before the people to vote on that. But it seems to me you're just, for me, marriage is between a man and a woman, partly because you can procreate, have offspring, and I mean, a marriage is a marriage is a marriage.
All right.
And they're just wanting to change the definition of it. You can visit people in the hospitals.
Richard,
as the benefits on your pension plan, you've got everything. Seems to me you're wanting everybody to agree that, okay, this is a marriage. Well, it is something different.
Okay. Thank you very much, Richard. He brings up an interesting issue, which is concern that America is losing the significance of family life.
Sure.
That the family as an institution is weakening. That this step, while taken for all the right reasons, the reasons you've given, would
sure.
be understandable reasons, certainly, would have the net effect of leveling marriage to just another kind of relationship when, in fact, it is the relationship on which a civilized free society is based.
I mean, you know, I agree. I am very worried about the family structure in this country. But I don't think that my my marriage to my husband and our family threatens that. In fact, I would argue that it strengthens it, because this allows us, when we have a child, to say to our child, we are married and you can be married someday too. No matter, you know, whether you grow up to be gay or straight, that marriage is what we should all aspire to. There are some brave single parents out there doing amazing things raising their kids. But I really genuinely believe that two parents who love unconditionally their child, that is the relationship that we should hold up and we should legislate around. And I think that my husband and I can do that in the same way that you and your wife do for your kids.
Full lines here, Talk Radio 570 KVI, 206-421-5757, outside King County, 1-888-312-5757. Phyllis in Kent, what do you say? You're up next. Talk Radio 570 KVI with John Carlson, Travis Mayfield.
Yes, thank you. I say that I say no to R-74, and I would like people to consider that this is homosexuality is an unnatural state, and that heterosexuality is the natural state. And I myself struggled for many years with lesbian attractions, until about 20 years ago I saw a program where a lady described having left a lesbian lifestyle and being happily reoriented.
How were you reoriented?
I was reoriented in facing the fact that I had...
What changed your attraction as a woman from women to men? What did that?
Well, what happened was that I realized there was a connection with my relationship to my mother that had been very strained.
Okay.
Because my folks had brought me up under...
I should not have asked that. We're not Dr. Phil. And I didn't want to get into too much detail.
But there was a relationship, and when I was able to straighten out that relationship, then my attractions to women just disappeared.
Okay.
Because that wasn't the issue. It was my lack of affection and appreciation and acceptance by my mother.
Oh, I see. Okay, Phyllis, thanks very much for your call. What about Phyllis's point that we are literally made for the purposes of procreating? Men are made to be fathers. Women are literally made to eventually become mothers. And that her point was that homosexual attraction is inherently, biologically speaking, unnatural.
First, I would argue that it's not unnatural. We see it in animals and across the kingdom of God's creation.
Not very often. not many species. Put it this way: if every animal replicated gay behavior, the species would be rendered extinct.
No, if every member of every species replicated, that there wouldn't. But in the same way that it is a small minority, and it is something that is, by the definition of normal and abnormal, is abnormal in the human condition. There are not a majority of folks who identify as gay or lesbian. So we are, by that definition, abnormal. I'm not saying that's good or bad. I'm just saying it is.
When it's 2%, it's
abnormal.
Right.
That's exactly
right. It deviates from the norm.
And I think that abnormal has gotten some sort of bad definition behind it. I don't mean that. But the same is true in the animal kingdom. So I would argue it's not it is a naturally occurring thing. But the argument, Phyllis may have had this change, and I respect that she has, and I am not going to try to dictate for her life. But I can tell you that is not something, I don't have those issues. I have an amazing relationship with my parents. I have nothing in my life that needs therapy. I'm not even conflicted about being gay. I live a monogamous lifestyle and a committed relationship with my husband. We live in a country that's based on the U.S. Constitution and civil law. I am not asking to go into a church, anyone's church, and get married. I'm not asking for churches to recognize Curtis and I as a marriage. All that I want is the federal government and the state government to say, you are the same. A previous caller mentioned civil unions. You know, I would be perfectly happy if the government got out of the marriage business overall and left it just to churches, and then they can call it whatever they want to. Whatever, if you want to call it super magical marriage in your church, or you want to call it amazing fantastical marriage in your church, and you
want
to say...
So what you're saying is, legally speaking, you want your union to be recognized as exactly the same thing as one of your brother's marriages to his wife.
Yes. Okay. Legally, that's all I need. So if everybody wants to have a civil union, amazing.
Okay. Joanne, from the town of Snohomish, the Bedford Falls of Washington State, you're up next. What do you think?
You know, two things. My husband's a pastor, and we pastor a small church, and I'm a tax preparer. So I've got, you know, both sides of those bases. As to whether or not he should be married, there's only two circuit courts that have approved it. The Supreme Court hasn't ruled in on it, although the Attorney General Eric Holder has said, you know, he thinks
they are going to rule on it, and it's thought that
they
it's going to go 5-4 in either direction.
Yeah, the one problem that I have is if my husband is approached through the church, he has protections. If he is approached through his private wedding business, he has no protections, just as much as the caterer down the street or the photographer.
Travis and I were actually talking about this during the break. I think that's a very legitimate point. If you're just minding your own business, literally your business, and someone says, we want you to recognize the legitimacy of our relationship by photographing it, by catering it, and you turn down money, you turn down the business because of your religious beliefs, should the state be able to coerce you into doing otherwise? Let me take that question to Travis. That's a good point, Joanne.
Well, as we were discussing off mic, that actually isn't what R-74 is about. There's already anti-bias law on state books. It's been around for several years. And if that's a conversation we want to have, then we should have that conversation about that law.
But where are you on that?
So, I mean, in the same way that if a black couple came to a florist and the florist said, I don't want to sell you flowers.
But you see, he would not be selling that person flowers because of what that person is. If the photographer didn't want to take pictures of a same-sex wedding ceremony, he wouldn't want to be taking photographs of how you're behaving. He probably wouldn't have a problem taking a picture of you for, you know, I'm sending out resumes. I want to have a business picture profile. Probably wouldn't have a problem with you as an individual.
Sure.
But if you're portraying your relationship and he, for religious reasons, finds that objectionable, should he be coerced into...
So what if you and your wife went to a wedding photographer and wanted your Catholic wedding photographed, and this was a Muslim photographer, and the photographer disagrees with your religion, and it's the actions of your wedding that they don't want it photographed? Should they have the right to say, no, I'm not going to photograph your wedding?
See, I
believe that they shouldn't.
I think yes. I would say, you know what? Honey, I don't think we want this guy taking pictures
Absolutely.
At our wedding anyway.
And that's so in this situation, I think that if this happened to Curtis and I would want the photographer to say, I'm actually not comfortable doing this. And I would then not want to actually spend money doing it.
Okay.
But I think it's a different legal argument that we get into.
Hold on. I got to ask you, because I only asked for a half hour, and I know you got other things to do. Can I hold you over one more segment?
Sure. Why not?
Travis Mayfield, a fan of this show, friend and colleague here at Fisher Broadcasting, wants to be able to marry his partner, Curtis. What do you think? Should they be allowed to get married? 206-421-5757 or 1-888-312-5757. Talk Radio 570 KVI.
America's first conservative talk station is back. This is Talk Radio 570 KVI.
All right, it is 9.5 minutes to 9 o'clock out there. John Carlson, Talk Radio 570 KVI. How you doing? Joined by a fan of the show, friend and colleague Travis Mayfield. We're talking about Referendum 74 and its direct impact on people. Travis happens to be gay in a committed relationship, said he would love to get married. He wants the status of his relationship with his partner to be recognized by the state, not necessarily by the church or by, you know, or by people in general, but by the state, the same as his brother's relationship to his wife.
You got it. And we were talking earlier briefly about how our mundane my life is. So my husband just texted me and said, has the dog been walked? She's definitely acting like she needs to be walked. And then his next text message is, oh, yeah, you went on early to talk to John to defend our marriage. Love you.
Okay.
That's how boring and mundane our life is.
Modern family. All right. Let us go to Mark in Kent. What do you say, Mark? Good to have you on Talk Radio 570 KVI with John Carlson, Travis Mayfield.
Thank you, John. I love your show. I really have a question for Travis, and I'll try to be concise in my thought process, but correct me if I'm wrong, but marriage, kind of the definition marriage in a word, kind of stems from the Bible. Maybe not Travis, but most gay couples that I know and come in contact with don't necessarily believe in God or recognize the Bible. And even if he does and Travis, the church you go to, recognizes this as, you know, acceptable in the Bible, obviously you have a different belief system in your church than most mainstream Christian Catholic churches have. So why are, if it comes from the Bible and it is recognized as a biblical union, and most gay couples don't recognize that authority, not believing in God, why are they looking for the definition to be approved by that source? And further, if you do have a belief in God and you believe that this is condoned by God, and within your church it is different than the mainstream, then why are you looking for the state to recognize a biblical union?
Travis.
I would start with your premise that most of our friends who are gays and lesbians, we know them in our church. We know them in other churches. So I honestly would tell you that I believe that it is a higher majority of gays and lesbians who are Christians or people of faith than perhaps your experience has led you to see. That's not to say, you know, that all gays are Christians. That's certainly not true. In the same way that not all straights are Christians or whatnot. There is a large community of faith of folks who are gay or lesbian and very devout and active. But your question about a biblical union, we're talking about civil law, and we're talking about a law that governs all of us, whether we are Christian, non-Christian, Muslim, Protestant, whatever. And so law should treat us all fairly and equally, and we should look at equity and we should look at fairness based on the law. And so for me, I really am not looking for necessarily, I can go to a church that affirms our marriage and that's fine. But what I need to protect my family is for the government to say, you are all treated the same under the eyes of the law for legal protections and legal rights. And I believe that the law should afford that to my husband and I as a civil matter. As we kind of mentioned earlier, if everyone wanted a civil union, government was involved, that would be perfect.
All right. Let us go to Ted in Redmond. Ted, go ahead real quickly. We're running out of time.
Hey, John, Travis. So I believe this is not about marriage equality. This is about fundamentally redefining marriage. And marriage is not about children. It's about a man and a woman becoming one. This doesn't add anything to society. Rather, it dilutes and confuses an existing institution.
That's the concern, that it dilutes an important institution that has already been weakened on so many fronts. Go ahead, Travis.
Well, and we saw this happen with the word gentleman in England. And we've seen it happen with the word Christianity. And if people want to come up with a new union, that's fine. But come up with a new name for it and fight for it to be accepted on its own merits rather than seeking to... Because if we redefine marriage, where will it end?
All right, very good. And that's a fair point. Where would it end? Go ahead.
So it ends at couples. I mean, that is what serves, as we discussed, two parents make a loving relationship and protect a child.
But suppose that, series with Deborah Messing, Will and Grace.
Sure.
So suppose... you had a guy in love with a guy and a girl, and they, you know, pledge their unconditional love and they wanted to
sure.
get married.
If they want to have that.
Using your logic, how would you say no, they shouldn't be allowed to?
Very simple example. At this moment, a veteran goes to war and dies in war. Their surviving spouse gets surviving benefits. There's one person who gets those benefits. In a plural relationship, that person goes and dies and comes back. And now what? Do we give every single one of those people the exact same benefits? Do they divvy those up? That's simple inequality. And if we give every single one of them the same amount of benefits, then my relationship, my coupledom, my surviving partner gets less than all of them combined. So, honest to God, it is an issue of fairness, and our law is based on coupledom, and that it simply
isn't. So you don't have a problem with the law restricting to couples?
That's right.
Okay. We're out of time. Thanks very much for not only
it's
coming
great to
down,
be here.
And being on the show you listen to.
That's right. And thanks to the listeners. I mean, really a respectful and good conversation today.
And no, I appreciate you taking the time and spending an extra couple segments. We have Laura Ingram coming up next. Enjoy the weekend. We'll talk again Monday.